This morning, I'll talk about being empowered for purpose. But before we start, I want to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, have you ever been asked to do something that seems impossible? Something that's impossible. Something that's beyond natural human ability. For example, let me give you a couple of things that are humanly impossible. Here's the first one. It's kind of silly, but it's impossible. Try licking your elbow. It's impossible. You can't do it. Here's another one. Try to sneeze with your eyes open. Now, that's kind of hard to do if you don't already need to sneeze. So you can try that one when you get home. You can go to the cupboard and the kitchen and get some black pepper and take a big whiff of that. And then when you sneeze, see if you can keep your eyes open. I guarantee you cannot keep your eyes open when you sneeze. Here's one more that you can try right now. Try to twitch your nose without moving your upper lip. Can you do it? I don't think so. It's impossible. Humanly impossible to do that. A couple of examples. So what do we do when we face an impossible task? Well, I think most of us give up, at least eventually. But what if that task has been given to us by God? See, sometimes God asks people to do what seems to be impossible. For example, Jesus told his disciples, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He also told them in Acts chapter 1, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Think for a moment how impossible that task must have sounded to his disciples. To make disciples of all nations, and to tell people everywhere about Jesus right to the very ends of the earth. At that time in history, it's estimated that there were about 200 million people on the earth, and Jesus just told 12 men to tell 200 million people about him. That means each of them had to tell 16.6 million people each about Jesus. And of course, we know that back in those days, there was no internet, there was no television. And it would be another 1,400 years later before they invented the printing press. So how impossible that task must have sounded to those 12 ordinary men. And that task would seem impossible except for one thing. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." See, that's the difference maker. It's the Holy Spirit. Mission impossible becomes mission possible when the mission is empowered by the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome the challenges we face when we try to live out the mission of Jesus. Today, we're concluding a sermon series called The Great Adventure. And over the last 10 weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be a devoted follower of Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus is the greatest adventure there is, but we can't do it on our own. The task of living out the mission of Jesus is humanly impossible. And that's why Jesus empowers us with the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to give you three reasons why your God-given mission is mission impossible, not impossible. Three reasons why you can complete a mission that's bigger than you are. The first thing we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is on a mission. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God, a person in the Trinity. He's not just a force in the universe, but a person who has a will and a purpose. And did you know that the Holy Spirit has a mission? He's accomplishing something. He's at work in the world. And he's been at work since the very beginning. Even in creation, the Holy Spirit was there and actively involved. In the very first verses of the Bible, we read about the activity of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Now, that's an interesting statement to me. That the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. What does that mean? Well, the word hovering can also be translated incubate. That word conveys the image of a bird sitting on a nest of eggs. The bird is keeping them warm and incubating what lives in those eggs to active life. And so it makes me wonder, what was the Holy Spirit doing at creation? It's an interesting picture we find in Genesis. The earth was formless and empty. and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Holy Spirit hovers over the surface of the water, incubating it like a nest, bringing forth life. Psalm 104, verse 30 says, "When you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." What those scriptures tell us is that the Holy Spirit was on a mission to create and bring forth life and to renew the earth. He hovered over the earth like a bird over a nest of eggs to bring forth life. That's not all he's done. In Job, it says, his Spirit made the heavens beautiful. That's all the information that we get from that verse, so I can't really expound on it. But I can tell you this, that from Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit brought forth life. He renewed the earth, and he made the heavens beautiful. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty cool. Just to think about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, it really gives me a much bigger picture of who he is. He brings forth life. He forms things that are formless, and he makes them something beautiful. That's his mission. And that's what he's been doing from the very beginning, and that's what he's doing today. You might be thinking, well, Rob, you know, didn't all that stuff already happen? Aren't you a little behind the times? You're way back in creation. Well, no, because the Holy Spirit is still at work today. But today, instead of incubating the earth, he incubates the human spirit. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He said, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." So how does someone who is spiritually dead come to life? It's through the life-giving power of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is on a mission to give birth to spiritual life, to form it into the image of Christ, and make it into something that is beautiful and gives glory to God. So the first principle is that the Holy Spirit himself is on a mission. And in that process, in the process of his mission, the Holy Spirit empowers God's people. That's the second principle. The Holy Spirit empowers God's people. The Holy Spirit has a mission that he is accomplishing. And in the strategy to accomplish that mission, he empowers God's people for God's purposes. For example, think of John the Baptist. God gave him a mission even before he was born. And the Holy Spirit empowered him while he was still in his mother's womb. Now, John the Baptist's father was a priest, and one day his father Zechariah was in the temple serving God, and an angel came to him and told him about the son that God was going to give him. In Luke chapter 1, it says, the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks." And it says then, "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to God, to the Lord their God." So John the Baptist was given a ministry of turning the Israelites back to God and preparing the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. In order for him to fulfill his mission, the Holy Spirit filled him with his power, even before he was born. In the Gospel of Luke, we also see that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit for his mission. Before Jesus began his ministry, he went to the Jordan River to be baptized in water by John the Baptist. But as he was baptized in water by John, he was also baptized in power by the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, we read, "One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove." And then we read a little further down in Luke 4, verse 1. "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River." When Jesus was about to begin his ministry, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at the apostles. After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the apostles many times, and when he did, he spoke to them about his kingdom. But just before he ascended into heaven, he gave them some final instructions. He told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And he also told them, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the apostles did what Jesus said. They waited. Actually, 120 of them waited for about 10 days. And then we read what happened again in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. 120 disciples of Jesus were empowered by the Holy Spirit for mission. And just remember what happened. People heard the sound of the loud noise and came running to see what was happening. And when they arrived, they saw and were amazed that these 120 disciples of Jesus were proclaiming the wonders of God in different languages. The bystanders heard them proclaiming the gospel in their own native languages as the Holy Spirit empowered them with that ability. And then Peter got up to preach the gospel under the power of the Holy Ghost. And we read the results in Acts 2 and verse 41. Those who believed what Peter had said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Jesus told them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." And that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit empowered these disciples of Jesus, to begin their mission. Let's look at one more example. The Apostle Paul. Now, if you know the story of the Apostle Paul, you know that he wasn't always the Apostle Paul. First, he was Saul the Pharisee, who was persecuting the Christians. If you've read the book of Acts, you know that he was on his way to the city of Damascus to arrest Christians when the glorified Christ appeared to him on the road. And from that miraculous experience, Saul became a believer and a follower of Jesus. Saul the Pharisee, the persecutor of Christians, then became the Apostle Paul. But before Paul became an apostle, before he started any of his missionary journeys or preached the gospel to anyone, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Immediately after his conversation after his conversion, God used a man named Ananias to give Paul what he needed. Acts chapter 9 tells the story. There it says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, for Saul, my chosen instrument, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Paul was empowered by the Holy Spirit and traveled throughout the Gentile regions on missionary journeys and preaching the gospel and planting churches. If we look at all these stories, we see that the Holy Spirit is doing something very consistent. He's empowering God's people for mission. One of our own Pentecostal theologians, Roger Stronstadt, he says this: "Whether the Spirit is given to John as an unborn infant, to Jesus at the Jordan, to disciples on the day of Pentecost, or to Saul in Damascus, the pattern is consistent. The gift of the Spirit always results in mission." The gift of the Spirit always results in mission. You may have heard that the Holy Spirit empowers us for change, and that's true. It's one of the great things that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us and gives us power to live a godly life. He gives us power to overcome the sinful nature. He gives us power to become more and more like Jesus in our character. But I get worried sometimes that people may think that that's all it's about, just about being saved and becoming a nicer person. You may think, "Yes, I gave my life to Jesus, and because of my faith and his atoning death and resurrection, and I became saved, and the Holy Spirit has given me the power to change. I stopped drinking. or I stopped getting angry, or I forgave others, or maybe God saved my marriage. And that's all wonderful. And it's all wonderful. And we should give God praise for saving us and changing us. And all that is good and all that is wonderful. But there is more. And if we don't see it, we might miss something that's very, very significant. That the Holy Spirit empowers God's people for mission. God's will is for us to become Christ-like in our character, that is for sure. But it's equally God's will for us to become like Christ in our mission. Every Christian is called by God to live out the mission of Jesus in their own lives. Just like we need the Holy Spirit's power to be born again spiritually. And just like we need the Holy Spirit's power to overcome the sinful nature and to live a godly life. If we're going to live out the mission of Jesus in our own lives, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do that. John the Baptist needed it. Jesus had it. The apostles waited for it. And we need it too. The Holy Spirit's empowerment to live out the mission of Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers God's people for mission. And I want you to see this morning that's not just for other Christians. This is for you this morning. Because the Holy Spirit will equip you for God's purposes. The Holy Spirit is on a mission. The Holy Spirit empowers God's people. And the Holy Spirit will equip you for God's purposes as well. Someone may ask, so how do I receive this empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Well, you receive it the same way as you receive salvation. You can't earn it, and you can't work it up in yourself because it's from the Holy Spirit. It's given to you. And the way you receive it is that you simply ask for it. In Luke 11, Jesus said, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So the first principle is to ask. The second principle to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is to wait. Jesus told His disciples, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't think about asking for the empowerment of the Spirit in the same way that we quickly ask a blessing over our food when we're at lunch. If we're serious about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, then we need to spend some time in prayer waiting before the Lord. I don't know how long you need to wait, but we shouldn't approach this with impatience or flippantly. If you want to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I suggest that you try to spend some quality time in the Lord's presence in prayer. I'm not saying that you need to be super spiritual, but I think that we do need to take it seriously. Now, in the Bible, another name that is used for this empowerment of the Holy Spirit for mission is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I know as soon as I say baptism in the Holy Spirit, some people start to think about speaking in other tongues, and that's okay. That's all good. I know some of you will have lots of questions about this, so let me just say a few words about it. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is first and foremost the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for us to proclaim the gospel. It is a prophetic empowerment that every believer can and should seek to experience for the purpose of living out the mission of Jesus. Speaking in other tongues is associated with the baptism in the Holy Spirit because tongues is prophetic speech given by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we read in several occasions in the book of Acts that when believers experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they also spoke in other tongues. Tongues is an outward sign of a prophetic empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's an experience that happens often in churches today. However, some people would say not often enough. Now, if you have questions about speaking in other tongues, I'd be glad to talk to you about that. But today, this message is not focused on that, on tongues. The focus for us today is to understand that we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And when we seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we are seeking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live out the mission of Jesus. And if we miss that, we've missed the whole point. Now, it can be easy for us to read these stories in the Bible and think, well, you know, that was way back then. That's not for now. We read about Peter preaching the gospel under the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 new Christians coming to faith on that day. We think, wow, that was so awesome, but that would never happen today. Well, we might be wrong. See, recent research has estimated that today, worldwide, 3,000 people come to Christ every 25 minutes. Yeah, you heard me right. Today, worldwide, 3,000 people come to Christ every 25 minutes. That means the day of Pentecost is happening every 25 minutes. Isn't that awesome? So let me conclude this morning by asking you this. What would happen if all of us that make Westside our church home began seeking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so we could live out the mission of Jesus with more power? Do you think God would hear our prayer if we called upon him to give us a fresh infilling of his Spirit, a fresh power from the Holy Spirit? And not just to give us a boost in our worship service, but to empower us to live out the mission of Jesus so that when we leave this place and go to where we work and live and play, we'd be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out the mission of Jesus. So let me ask you this. Is that a journey you're willing to begin this morning? Or maybe a journey you're willing to renew this morning or be refreshed in this morning? Remember, it starts by simply asking and then waiting. I'm going to invite the worship team to come this time. We're going to pray this morning. And as the worship team leads us in worship, I'm going to invite you to begin that journey this morning. And if you want to, I'm going to make available the altars here this morning. You can come forward and spend some time praying, seeking God's presence, and seeking the Holy Spirit's work in your life and empowerment. If you want to, others will come and lay hands on you and pray for you. That's a biblical way of going about that. Or if you want to be where you are and just spend time just soaking in God's presence and just praying, that's fine. There's no pressure, but the altars are open. And I encourage you, if you feel led, to come and spend some time in prayer this morning. We're going to ask, and we're going to make a time available for you to wait in God's presence this morning. That's how it works. Father, thank you, God, that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Comforter. He sent a friend, the Holy Spirit, to live within us, that we are a temple of the Spirit when we give our lives to you. And Father, it shows us in your word, teaches us clearly that we are to seek the infilling and empowerment of your Spirit. We are to come and to ask and to wait. And Lord, we know that there's nothing we can do to work it up in ourselves, or it's just about us asking and waiting. And so we want to do that this morning. We want to invite you to come in your power and presence to refresh us, oh God. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Father, come and refresh your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The altars are open for you this morning.